Okay, so I learned from last time that anything that I want to discuss that maybe was discussed with me or asked to me during the week, so if I'm going to talk about it now, we're not going to do what I wanted to speak about. So first I'll give what I wanted to speak about, and then at the end, if there's time, as Hashem, I mentioned there's a few other nekudas that came out from different things that were asked this week. The topic of tonight, I'm not sure if there's a sign if it said Shidduchin part 3 or if it said, I wanted it to say Shidduch information. What did it say? Shidduch information. Shidduch information, there's two parts. There's the part of what we should be asking, and there's the part of giving Shidduch information. So I'm going to break it up in such a knife, and some of the parts I'll mix and match, but Beifenekroni, the Shia is going to be about how to give over shidduch information, which is the shaila of life and death. If a shor can hurt a person and kill a person, Chazal say the pasuk says chayim b'mavis b'yad haloshin. Right? It's really also, you know. Oh, thank you very much. Mavis, yeah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nivdvaro. As I said, zikr, the mavis b'yad haloshin. How many people's lives have been ruined? And who knows, maybe you'll hear one or two stories about them tonight. How many people's lives have been ruined because of some, I can't even say well-meaning bacher. I'll just say stupid bacher, right? From some bacher who was probably not even well-meaning, or at least he thought he was well-meaning, but he didn't know anything about hilchos lashon hara, or he didn't care. And it's clearly a major issue in both directions. Both if he didn't say when he was supposed to say, both if he said when he wasn't supposed to say. So that's the ikar of tonight. That's really, it's a major topic. It's a major topic in halacha, a major, major topic. That's number one. Number two is the information of what we should be asking and how to ask questions and how to get the answers you want really to get. So that I'll try also to focus a little bit about, but that's not as hard, and it's a little bit more, it's a little bit less general. I'll speak generalistic, but really it's a more pratistic conversation, a specific, and each person on their own anyways is going to have to deal with whoever they deal with when it comes to Shidduch and how to ask the questions. Maisa Eliezer, we know, is the first Shatchan, right? And that's what Chazal seemed to... Let's bring down and tell you, he's the first person that seems to give us that oifen of somebody who is oisik in shidduchin. Somebody's oisik in shidduchin. When I talk tonight about a shadchan and being oisik in shidduchin, I'm not talking just about a shadchan. The emphasis is that the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph brings down that one of the five first questions that they ask a person when he comes up to the Oilam Emes is a sakta bepir verivya. It's going to be one of the questions that they ask everybody here. It's one of the first five. One of them is going to be a sakta bepir verivya. And the Marshal Fraktikasha, a shaykh to ask a person if he was Isaac in Peri Verivia. Did he get married? He got married. If he say Lahedja, he tried not to get married. How many people in the world tried Lahedja not to get married? It's a davar deloy kolkach mitzdaber. And once he tried to get married, is he somebody Lahedja doesn't want to have children? So the amounts of people that shaila affects are very, very few. A person who doesn't want to get married, doesn't want to have children, it's a very... So that should be the first of the shailas that he's being asked. We want to know, are you that type of person? And Betzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu probably knows the answer to that question. It's not something that has to be asked to him. It should be spoken straight to him. You didn't want to get married and you didn't have children and you weren't Isaac and Kiyuma Shal Oilam. Vada, it's not the Pshat. So the Mashah says, that's not the Pshat. The Mashah said, the Pshat is a Sakta Pirivya was where you, somebody who was Isaac in helping in Shidduchin. It doesn't mean were you a Shatchin. It means, you know, a person that's helping, is giving the right information, is helping. Giving the a suggestion, and et cetera, is an Asakta Pirivya. It's the Chesed on the highest nature. And that's why it's one of the first five questions, because anybody who knows in Parsha Shidduchin knows that this is mamish something that's goyim the most agnes nefesh. The most agnes nefesh to the girl, to the boy. You know, sometimes you have an older bacher, such agnes nefesh, and he doesn't even feel like he's allowed to have the agnes nefesh, because he knows by the girls, they're allowed to have the agnes nefesh. An older girl's allowed to. But an older boy, it's like, you know, it's something people think, oh, if Mustami is an older boy, so Mustami, it's his fault. And people think, yeah, he's saying no to everybody, he's being too picky. You know, the girls, they're a bit more sensitive. But the boys, they're not. But the poor guy suffers. It's an agnes nefesh ein kamoyu. It's something indescribable. That imagine the agnes nefesh of seeing everyone around you getting married. It's pain that you can't even be metayer. You want to go to the next stage in life, and you can't. It's a terrible agnes nefesh. And for the girls, it's a kal v'chomer. And for the parents, it's the worst agnes nefesh in the world. I, Baruch Hashem, don't know, and I hope I never will. But I hear from the people what they, the way they talk. It's something indescribable. The pain that they have is indescribable. I don't want to say, but sometimes I talk to parents and they tell me they're massive, and It's like, you know, I heard people that, unfortunately, people tell me all different types of problems, and I can't say, but sometimes it's much worse than the problems that are involving even health. The worst problem, because the agmas nefesh of being helpless when you feel like you should be doing something and you can't is not shayach. When it comes to something of health, everybody knows that's in Shemayim. That's Bashert. When it comes to health and these things, so people know, they try, they do what they can, and they know it's in Bashert. So it's a certain level, and psychologically it makes the person a little bit, he feels a little bit less in control. And Mashenke and Shidduchin, he feels like there must be something I'm doing wrong, and he doesn't know what to do, and the Agmas Nefesh is incredible. So therefore the Masha says that this is the highest level, I don't want to say the highest level Chesed, but it's the highest level Asik in Chesed. And the Masha said it'll be one of the first shalos we asked. And again, I want to reiterate this, because it's a mistake to think. I wrote it in a wrong oifen. It makes it sound like to be a Shadchin, that's what they're going to ask you if you're a shatran. They're not going to ask you if you're a shatran. It wasn't, I am Isaac stomach every day, once a day in Shidduchin, once a day. I don't have so much of a knack for making the Shidduchin. My wife is a teacher in many seminaries. I teach in many yeshivas. You think like Mstama, right? I've made two Shidduchin. In my entire career, made two shidduchin. One of them was totally by accident. I just said that I don't think it's for this boy. You'll see why I said that in a moment. Try out. I think it's for this boy. I think you should try it with that boy. Right? And I didn't think anything of it. And 3 months later, I got a phone call. I'm the shatran. That was one story. The other story was much easier. It was a boy who said that he was a Sephardic boy, a Sephardi, who didn't want to marry a Sephardi girl. And it was a Sephardi girl who didn't want to marry a Sephardi boy. Right? So, Maisa, I put the shidduch together, and Baruch Hashem, now they're, you know, they're doing guns fine. Right? I wonder if they'll listen to the shir. It's all right. I tell everybody this. But it's also part of what we spoke about before, what we think we know, and what we think we want, and what we think we need. But so, Kaplanim, that's the Maisa, the my success in shidduch. And yet, I'm, you know, hoping that this will be one shaila I'll be able to answer properly, because the Maisa taka oisik every day. People ask me shailas and evada. It depends on how the yachas you'll give. That's how they'll ask me in Shemayim Mistama. Did you work very hard to try and help and to try and push shidduch and etc. And that's evada, our responsibility. But bikaron, what's negeya us in this room in these next 2 or 3 years, for sure you're going to get asked these shailas. This is the market of people who are going to be dealing with this shaila, shidduch info, because everyone knows. Friends is a very, very big koveya. We want to know, especially if you're not a friend, then you're not on the paper, then you're a big koveya. You have a family, you have a family member, and they're asking you, we want to know inside information, etc., etc. So this is your parsha. This is you're the people who are going to be dealing with this shaila. And this next 2 years, in a much more concentrated life, and once you get married, a little bit less, and then once you hit 27, 28, it's already gone. You know, then they stopped asking you a little bit, and then you get older again, and then they start asking you again, if you're a Rebbe, for sure, v'chule, v'chule. And these next 2 years is when you're dealing with this parsha. Then the emesis is that they'll be asking you a sakta privrivia. They'll be talking about these 2 years for sure. Were you helping? Were you saying the right information? Were you trying to, you know, that's number one. Number two is, you think it's a small thing. The Medrash says that Rabbi Yossi was asked by the High Matronisa, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He created the world in 6 days. Now what does he do? It's a great question. Huh? What does he do? So what did he answer? We have a lot of answers. You know what he answered? He answered, what do you mean? Now he's Isaac in making Shidduchin. That's what Rabbi Yossi said. Basically said that for the last 5,775 years, he's been Isaac in nothing but making Shidduchin. That's what he does all day. I can't tell you I have a major shot in this, but at least it definitely brings out our point. That you see, who's also very Isaac, the Shulchan Aezer, that's a Bichacha, in Ebenezer, and Simon Gimel, he writes, he says, Ibizai, Vagandam, he brings the Medrash, and then he says, Ibizai, from this you see that a person that he's Oisik and Shidduchin, he's trying to help, he's answering a Shidduch call, etc., etc., he's being Mekayim the mitzvah of Elachta Bedracha, of Adav Kabah, Mekayim the mitzvah deraisa. When you get on the phone, you should, whoever wears a gartel, you should put on a gartel, whoever doesn't, you should take it off. And it's like, when you're answering a Shidduch call, you're going and you're doing a mitzvah, you're taking a lulav right now. Right, you're taking galulav. So that's a very important thing. The Chazayin Ish was Isaac in Shidduchin until the last day he died. I heard the story from a person who was involved in the Shidduch. The Chazayin Ish told the Bacher, I'm telling you, I'm not going to tell you ever again, but I want you to look into this Shidduch. He told him already 4 or 5 times before, and he said, I'm not going to ever tell you again. And the next day he died. And he never told him again. The Chazayin Ish was Isaac ad yoy moysa in Shidduchin. Of Aaron Zichron and Levracha, the greatest Rosh Hashivas that lived in our door, And in the Klal Yisrael, we're Oisik and Shidduchin constantly. The Chasam Sofer, who, you know, this week I read a tshuva from the Chasam Sofer, and I start to, you have such a Pella, the knowledge and the breitkeit of who the Chasam Sofer was. It's just lo yumin ki sofer. I saw one Sofer, someone was writing on this Chasam Sofer, writes that Ishtamitzei the Toisvis, the Chasam Sofer forgot the Toisvis. Some Sefer just forgot a Taisis. Some Sefer forgot a Taisis. So the Chazanish was once walking with somebody, and he told the person that, you know, the emes is the Chasam Sofer, right, with one Taisis, he could have really turned over the entire Gzeres Kantanistim. The entire thing, the entire, not Gzeres Kantanistim, Gzeres Kantanistim, the entire Gzeres could have been bevatel with one Taisis. So the person looked at the Chazanish and he asked him, so why didn't he? He said, nah, Metunish says, you don't do things like that. I guess the people that understand they can turn over a world with a taisvis understand why you don't do things like that, right? But the Chasam Sofer didn't forget any taisvis, right? And the Chasam Sofer, the breitkeit, the yid. So you think such a yid, such kedusha. The granddaughter-in-law of the Chasam Sofer was told when she went to the Seder by the Seder night, don't look into the face of the Chasam Sofer. And that Seder night, you can't look into his face. It's not the gay. It's not the gay, right? And she spent the whole night trying to look into the face of the Chasam Sofer. And she walked out her pain. She spoke about it afterwards. She has in her memoirs. She writes how she had terrible pain in her eyes for at least a week afterward. Right? Just looking at the face of the Heilig Chasam Sofer, she wasn't able to look. There was the Heilig Chasam Sofer. So you think such a person, he goes into Yom Kippur. You know, I don't know if he's Ruig, but he definitely has less reason to worry than we do. Yeah, so they write that them is the Chasam Sofer said over, I think, at the Hespit of the Chasam Sofer. He would talk about the Erev Yom Kippurs, the Chasam Sofer. He would daven for the Amid, maybe, I don't know, always, but he would daven. So the Chasam Sofer, he was in such pachad on Erev Yom Kippur, they had to carry him back from the mikvah. The Heilig Chasam Sofer. So one Yom Kippur, he wasn't masking him to go to shul. It wasn't maskim. So the whole entire Pressburg is waiting for the Chasam Sofer. He says he can't think, he has no schus that he feels he'd be able to go into the Yom HaDin with, that he should be the one that leads the davening. So they didn't know what to do. He had to go to shul. His daughter there was pleading with him, it says over there, to go to shul, that they need him. And so the Chasam Sofer said, maybe if you could think of some type of a schus, the Chasam Sofer. If there's some type of a schus that we can think of, that maybe he can go to the shul. So the Chasam Sofer said, maybe if he would be able to make a shidduch. That was the only thing he could think of. Maybe he can make a shidduch. So he asked him, is there anybody that you could think? So he said that there's a certain amana, a young amana, and that her husband was nifter. And so he said, how old is she? He says, hey, fine. He said, okay, you know, I have a Talmud. Right? Okay, tell him to come here. So he came. Okay, so he told him, like, you ask him to marry this girl. So he said, if the Rebbe says I should marry her, I'll marry her. He says, I say you should marry her. I say you should marry her. And he says, okay, so I'm ask him. So the daughter said, okay, so now you can go to shul. He says, no, now we're making the shidduch. Right, so it's about half an hour in Pressburg before Yom Kippur. And he made the almana come over. And he came up, and they made a vort in the house of the Chasam Sofer. And then the Chasam Sofer said, okay, now he's masking him to go to shul. Because he had that schus. So that, you understand, you're dealing with something which is a major parsha. Again, there's the extreme of being the shadchan, but by us being the asika and the shidduch is also something that's a tremendous tayelis. The Chaim Kreisler, I once was by Rav Chaim Knievsky, and I was with somebody, and the emesis, I told the person on the way over, I made the mistake of telling the person that that lately I get mamish, maybe like 15, this is about a year ago, I get about 15, now it's more, I get about 15 phone calls a day that I'm Isaac and Shidduch, and I really don't have the time. You know, I am so passionate, and there's so much time I learn, and I give a lot of shirim, and I just don't have the time. I was complaining out loud in the car. I was complaining. But when he got there, so this is somebody who has a very big shaychus to Rav Chaim, and he said to Rav Chaim, I wanted to have somebody who I needed to ask a certain shaylin. It needed, sometimes you need somebody, like the Gemara says, to say who you are in front of you, right? So you told him that he's a Magad Shir, is a Shkai, whatever he said about me, right? So he was trying to give me an in, that he should be able to ask the shaylin and get a little bit of a yachas, right? So, and he said, and he deals with 15 shidduchins a day. That's how he said it. He says, "Chameishesrei shiduchim b'kol yom, or seik b'chameishesrei shiduchim b'kol yom." And he smiled at me because, you know, he knew I was. I said it to complain, and he said it to Reb Chaim, and he said to Reb Chaim, said to him, "You should have started with that." Yeah, hayala halatchil imzeh. You should have started in that. That's you want to tell somebody he's a psachashiv, you tell him he's Isaac and Chamesha say Shidduchin every single day. And then after I asked my questions at the end, he told her Chaim, he said, he humitlonein al zeh. He complains about it. Once I got in, he complains about it. I wanted to give him, he complains about it. He complains. So Chaim said, a maise, which I found out after was a famous maise, apparently it's a famous maise. He said to complain. He said, to kensish the maise mit Rechaim Kreisworth. You don't know the maise Rechaim Kreisworth. I didn't know the maise, but I had to, you know, if there's somebody else there, yeah, tell us the maise. What was the maise? The maise was that Rechaim Kreisworth was very sick. I think it was Yana Machlegan, and he came to the Stipler. And he asked the Stipler what he should do. He was younger at the time, and he was very sick. So the Stipler told him that every morning you say in the Tefillah, you say Biker Chaylim, Levayas Hameis, right? These are the things that Eichel Per saying. Ba'olam Hazeh Keren Kayemis. So you say Biker Chaylim and Levayas Hameis. In the middle is Achnasas Kala. Vikim Terayin Achnasas Kala in the middle of Biker Chaylim and Levayas Hameis. What's the Kum Tzchay Ayn? What Shaiches? So Stipler told him is Vayis Tchoyis. If you're Oisik in Achnasas Kala, it's a spalt between the Biker Chaylim and the Levayas Hameis. Be Oisik in Biker. Be Oisik in Achnasas Kala. He told the greatest, one of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim in the ganze Welt. One of the greatest. Everyone knows Chaim Kreisler was a great Talmud Chacham and a great Askim and a great everything. He was an Adam HaShalem, and he told him you'd be Isaac in Shidduchin. The Kachave, he was Isaac in Shidduchin. I think he lived another 20 years, 20 something years, right? Because that's the I don't want to say we know in the Amma Skula, but that's the Skula Baduka, right? That's rather the a reason to keep the person around in a much Oithin. This parsha has a tremendous amount of confusion. The Sefer Chassidim in Siman Shinayin Tes. Sefer Chassidim, I think, is brought even in. I'm not sure if I could be. It was brought in one of the Paiskim, but the Sefer Chassidim Al Kapanim in Siman. I didn't write down where it was, but I think it's in Shinayin Tes. The Sefer Chassidim writes that if you lie in the Parsha Shidduchin, so then it's you're talking that it's mamish avlu she'ein kamoyu. It'll create a mekach toyis even in the shidduch. I once went to Rav Liashiv about a certain case. I'm going to say it in a very klalistic way, and you'll get the klalim in mitzvah Hashem. But I went to Rav Liashiv about a certain case about that somebody lied. It happens to be it was a certain emotional issue that they had lied about that came out after the chasana, and Rav Liashiv felt it was a mekach toyis. It was a mekach toyis gomer. Yelled at the emissus that it was the tzad that girl. He said that she's not married b'chlal. Not married, Bechlal, and she doesn't need a get. He said, you know, like the same lashon of Chazon Ish, they don't do things like that. She has to get a get. Because there's going to be people that are going to be misnagged and whatever, and you can't have a zamatz if it's not good for her if she doesn't get a get. But that's a mikra Daniel, she doesn't have to get a get, and it was all based on the fact that people had lied. Lamaisa just matut nishtazei. She has to get a get because, you know, what could you? I said, yeah, but Lamaisa, she's not going to be able to marry a kayin now, you know, and now she would be able to marry a kayin. I said, don't worry. She'll find the shidduch by the end of the year, anyways. He said it like a zay. She could have found the shidduch by the end of the year, anyways. His mamish, it was unbelievable. It was an ibriyar. It was an ibriyar. And she found the shidduch by the end of the year. He gave it to the last month. Maybe the last month also. But the concept that we're talking about, when I'm going to teach you tonight how to lie, you have tremendous moira, because most of the shiur tonight is going to teach you how to lie. What I'm teaching you is what's not called the sheker. So you walk out, and you learn. It's this week's parsha, of course, is where it's all negaya. Yaakov Avinu was the quintessential emes liyankov. He was the dogma of emes. And afapikin, you know, he says ani achai beramoyes. I'm your brother in ramoyes. So you have to know when, yeah, when no. But it's dangerous. The Gemara says in Sukkah, limdu l'shaynim sheker. You're not supposed to teach a child sheker. Even when it's mutter, because of the fact that then he's going to think that's the proper thing to do. So you have to be with the same level of understanding that what we're talking about, sometimes the lie over here is of the utmost sheker, that it becomes mamish mekach tois, they're not married. Right? That's how great the avlu could be. Indescribable. Nagmas nefesh sometimes is layung kisuper. So if you're not clear in the halachas that you're hearing tonight, don't apply them and become clear. Right? The Gemara in Erechin, already the armakiris of lying. The Gemara in Erechin and Davchav Gimel Beis says, you're allowed to become a ma'ariv, an arev on a shidduch. You're allowed to become an arev on a shidduch, and then you're going to be lying about the shidduch. In other words, you're going to be lying about your arvis. It's not in the etzim shidduch. We'll get closer to the shidduch in a moment, but you see already that the person who's being a sheker in order to get the shidduch to push it through, eoyv. The Gemara Baba Basra of Daf Tet Zayin is talking about the praise and the shvach of Eiv. What's his praise? The praise of Eiv is that he used to tell people, she's related to me, this girl. She was having a hard time getting married. So he said, yeah, she's related to me. And Eiv was a chash of a fellow. So Mela people wanted to make the shidduch. So you see, he lied. Mamash lied. Chavetz Chaim is a story that is very known. Very, very known. The Chavetz Chaim lied about a certain shidduch. It's actually very famous who the shidduch is. I'm not sure in Hilchos Lashon Hara if I could say over, but Hakapanim, the Chavetz Chaim lied and said a certain lady was related to him. Was related to him, and when afterward they asked the Chavetz Chaim, he's the Ish Emes, and he lied. It was a sheker. The Chavetz Chaim said she's related. She's a Karev called Yisrael Karev. And all the Kol Yisrael is related. So you have to know when yes to lie. If the Chavetz Chaim lied, he held it was a mitzvah deraisa to lie in that case. He was getting a mitzvah. He was putting on his gartel. Or taking it off. But if you're allowed to lie, you have to lie. If you're not allowed to lie, it's the greatest avera could create mekach tais. The Chzain Ish. I heard today. I asked somebody who is very, very makoriv to the Chazon Ish. He was Alt-Alt-Eid now. And I asked him, could you give me any lying stories about the Chazon Ish and Shidduchim? He said, yeah, I have one myself. He said, the Chazon Ish told me he was 27 years old. Chazon Ish said, don't say you're 27, right? Say you're 24. So he told the Chazon Ish, I'm not 24, I'm 27, right? So Chazon Ish said, I know. Don't say you're 27. Tell him you're 24. Right? So he said, but that's a sheker. Right? So the Chazon Ish turned to all the Svarim that was around him. He was in a room in the base manager somewhere, right? He says, you see all those Svarim? Right? He says, everything you see over here, in every one of these Svarim it says what I just said you're allowed to do. He said there was Rashbas, there was Ritvas, right? There was some Sil Shasharms at Pregnish, right? That's what he said. He said, in every one of those Svarim it says, what does it mean? It means, Koila Toira Kula just told you that this is Mutter. Okay, so you have to understand why. And we know that people get very upset about these things. So we have to try and understand that story, right? So, you know, and the Chazon Ish was a mastermind at this. It's Yidua. There are many stories, and some of them you'll hear tonight. So I'm going to give you now two Klalim and Sheker. Two Klalim and Sheker. In Shidduchin, and it's two separate klalim that are not exactly related. There's one klal in Sheker that we have to get the ball rolling, as I say. We have to get the Shidduch started. And then there's going to be one type of heter for Sheker. Then there's another type of a Sheker, which is not, we have to get it started and therefore we're going to be allowed to lie. That's one type of Sheker. It's a totally different Sheker and has different gedarim. There's another type of a Sheker, which is communication. When I say one thing, it means this. When you hear this, it means this. Okay? Now, this is a tremendous chachma. I want to explain this. Sometimes something's not a sheker. It's that when I say certain words, they mean certain things to you, and then when I say them, they mean certain words. I'll explain this. It's a very, very important insight. You know, people ask me all the time in Shidduch, and they ask me, they want to know if the person here, my daughter is brilliant, right? My daughter is brilliant. I want to know, is the boy brilliant, right? They want to know, is the boy a masmid? They want to know, is the boy, we'll see different examples, I'm going to fear us in the end, smoking. They want to know, is the boy modern? Is the boy modern? I wrote down different definitions of things that have to be talked about, but these are all questions, right? So I'll give you an example. So somebody asked me about, back in the summertime, somebody wanted to know, is the boy modern? Is the boy modern? So what does the word modern mean? Right? Even within this room, it's a very difficult word. Right? What does modern mean? He's modern. It's a very, very big word. Right? Modern. Right? What, does he shave? What if you shave, you're modern? I don't know. What's modern, right? Does modern mean that he wears a sugi yarmulke? He's got a yarmulke with little holes in it. Right? What is modern? He wears cracks. I don't know what modern is. So I told the person, I said, listen, I started giving him a little bit of a speech, you know. I said, modern is a big word. I don't know what the word modern is, you know. And now, it's very important. Because every word that you hesitate in the shidduch, is right away is you just said he's modern, right? Because you're hesitating, and that's how it works. That's how it works in Parshas Shidduchim, right? But this is somebody I have a shprach with, and I said to him, listen, don't be medayik what I'm saying. I don't know what is the word modern. What's modern, right? So he says to me, like, you know, does he wear a hat and jacket during Alamichya? I said to him, I don't wear a hat and jacket during Alamichya. He says, I know, I think you're a bit modern. I said, this guy, forget it. The most modern Jew in the world. But you understand, we have to get the definition. We have to understand, what does he mean by modern? Right? I went on. I told him that, it's not mashman the paiskim, you have to wear a hat and jacket during Alamichya. So he says to me, yeah, but the stipler wore when I said, I know, in page Orchis Rabbeinu, page 84, it brings down that the stipler taka wore a hat and jacket during Alamechia, but it says that he held it was roy for a year shemayim. That means the stipler held it was roy for a year shemayim to wear. So that, you know, so I don't know if that's a good definition of modern or not. Right? I told him, I think Rechayim Kanievsky has three ayinikloch that are still in Shaduchin, and maybe. Right? Maybe. Then I found that afterward, they don't wear a hand jacket for Alamechia. I can't say on all three of them, but I found out two of them that are not. Right? So I don't know. I shouldn't say that actually. It's Lashon Hara. But the Maisa, somebody watched them say Alamechia and they weren't wearing a hand jacket. One time. So I don't know. It's not a Raya always. But the Maisa, it's obviously not necessarily. A kaveh. So the word modern is a difficult word, which is why I have to teach you how to answer the question when you're asked if something is modern, right? They want to know, is the boy a Talmud Chacham? I get this all the time. Is the boy going to be a Talmud Chacham? Is he going to be a Talmud Chacham, right? You got to wonder, and somebody's calling you up, the girl wants to marry a boy who's not going to learn after the chasana. Now, in our door, I don't care if something is right or wrong, but that's the reality by us, right? The reality is, you know, it could be 40 years ago, somebody that wasn't going to learn after the chasana, people went to work and does, and he learned, and he had kaveh zitim 5 hours a day, and three, and he became a great Talmud Chacham even if he worked, right? In our door, whatever the reason is, nobody should get offended, or maybe you should, I don't know. But Maisa, that's the reality in our world. If the guy is not learning after the chasana for a year, for 2 years, for something, he's not learning at all, there's not much chances he's going to be a big Talmud Chacham, unless, you know, he's a Yaitzei Minaklal. I think everyone will agree that that's the reality. He's got a daughter who's marrying a boy. He's going out with a shidduch, and, the boy's not learning after he's getting married. And he says to me, I wanted this boy, is going to be a Talmud Chacham, right? So the boy's not going to be a Talmud Chacham. Now, what's the definition of the word Talmud Chacham, right? So if I say, yes, he's going to be a Talmud Chacham, did I just lie? Did I lie? So let's have communication translation over here. I said to him, Talmud Chacham is a very, very big word. Right? There's lots of levels of Talmud Chacham. There's a fellow in Bnei Brak. His name is Kanievsky. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. Right? He knows Kol Tarkula. Is that the type you're looking for? No, not that. Okay? What are we talking over here? So he said to me, you know, like so-and-so. So he said to me the name of a certain Bacher is in one of the yeshivas I'm affiliated with. Right? And he's not a Talmud Chacham. No. Right? He's not a big Talmud Chacham. No. He's not a small Amaretz. No, and I was like shocked. I said this. I didn't say to him. I'm like, this boy, right? He's the guy that maybe bites the Talmud Chacham. Like the Gemara talks. I said like him. Yeah, you know. He says he just heard him speak. He was one of his mishpacha members. Got married or something. Or his sister got married or whatever. So he spoke the Sheva Brachas. He's such a beautiful vart. He said over like a beautiful voice, you know. So what is he asking me? Say again. Now you just went into the world of translation and communication. He didn't just ask me, is the boy going to be a Talmud Chacham? He wanted to know, is the boy a good speaker? Right? And he said, like, he said, yeah, you know, see, he was smooth. He said, like, you were a cow, you know, like a joke. He's doing, you know, I'm as big a Talmud Chacham as him. Okay. He said, you know, so he wants to know, number one, is he a comedian? You have to define. He asked me, number one, is he, you know, he said what a joke, and he's a good speaker. So he wants to know, number one, is he a comedian? And number two, he wants to know, does he know how to say over a Meshech Chachma that he found in Pnini HaToyer or something like that? Right? So he wants to know that. So I said, this guy, go to Lador. Did I just lie? I didn't just lie. I just said emis amitai mamish. But the definition of the word, you don't know what word when he says that. Somebody asks brilliance. Wants to know if he's brilliant, right? This is, you know, I was going over with my wife tonight certain stories. That's why I was leaving. I said, I need stories for these guys. They don't go without stories. They don't go, right? So I said, brilliant. Give me a story, brilliant. She goes, you remember the maisa with the parshas Hashavua? That's great. The girl's parents wanted to know, is the boy, you know, my daughter's very, very smart. Very, very smart. And you need a boy who's very, very smart. So what's the word, very smart? It's the hard definition. What does it mean, right? Brilliant, right? So what was their definition of brilliant, right? You know, we have a son, right, for example, right? Guys, define for me brilliant. We have a son, right? He could tell you over all the parshas ala Torah, Balpeh, right? You know, the names of all the parshas in the Torah, Balpeh, straight, right? Yeah. Straight. Okay, some of us, I don't know if we could all do that, right? I could do it backwards, Rabbi Yisrael, right? But, you know, some of us could do it forward, some of us could do it backwards, some of us don't even know, you know, that there are that amount of parshas. Okay, it's impressive, right? Is that a definition of brilliance? Right? Is that a definition of brilliance? You know, if he told me that the person, he could tell you the entire Shakla Vatayr of Masechta Baba Basra, up, down, inside out, with all the Rishbams and all the Taisism, right? Okay, it's ganz good. That's pretty good. I'd be impressed. That's already definition. But brilliance is a very, very, you know, difficult word to say. It's a difficult, so I'm going to say, so. But Beregi said the word, he's not brilliant. This gets into the next conversation. The next category is, first you have to define what the person is asking you. Then after you define what the person is asking you, you have to remember, whatever you're saying is being magnified 1,000,000 times. So let's say you would say the words like this. You know, he's not brilliant. Let's say the Roif Bnei Adam would consider him not to be brilliant. He's not brilliant, right? Now, first of all, it's not fair, because I just explained to you the question that they asked you is not the question you answered. And you said a sheker gomer. That's number one. You're over on Avera Neira. You're over on Lashon Hara. And number two, which is, I guess, worse, more different, is you have another issue over here. Is Bereke, you just said the words, he's not brilliant. Let's say, for example, it is what you're in the right category. You are talking to each other. And you said he's not brilliant. They didn't just hear he's not brilliant. You know what they just heard? They heard he's dumb. That's the reality. That's reality. Why it's like that, we're not well people, Rabbi Sain. That's the mitzvah. But that's the reality. If you told me, because now I just heard that this person just said, my son-in-law or my this is not brilliant. What did I just hear? You just, I don't want the shidduch anymore. He's dumb. Right? And that is true with everything in the world. That's true with everything. They want to know, does he have a midas hakas? I'm going to get more into examples in a moment. Right now, I'm still in the level of what we call theory, the klalim, to bring it out. But they want to know, is he somebody who has a midas hakas? Which is a very, very, very difficult question, and whatever, which we'll get to, and whatever. Let's say the answer is he does. Let's say the answer is he's not in control of his anger, and whatever. So you say, yeah, he has a midas hakas. He has a midas hakas. I mean, does he have a midas hakas? Everybody has a midas hakas. Right? He has a midas hakas, but okay. But you know what I mean? He sometimes expresses his midas hakas. And you don't mean like, you know, he's mamish, angry person, he walks around angry. You know, you thought you're saying the right thing, you know, which we'll get to in a moment, how you do answer that question. But you know what you just said? When they hear the words, he has a midas hakas, you know what they just heard? They heard, Nebuchadnezzar's first cousin. Like Nimrod. Right? They hear, he's angry. He's a midas hakas. That's the reality. They will not let the daughter. You mean he's going to hit my daughter? Okay. I don't want that shidduch. That's what they hear. So is that called lying? Yet, on the other hand, this is so dangerous, right? Because what we see in the Sefer Chassidim says, Mamash Mekach Toyas, if you know that they're Makbid, it's going to be the worst crime in the world to not say the truth. So this is the major problem that we have in front of us. Definition, communication, and how to answer back, how to say words. What do the words mean to you? What do the words mean to that person? What does the person answer you? Okay. So I'll try to give you examples in a moment, but I need one more Hakdama. The next Hakdama is in the Hilchos Lashon Hara. Now, I'm going to give you an acronym. I say it every year. And the emphasis is that I'm making the acronym smaller and smaller. I used to say Shtika. This came from Rav Hamana. Rav Hamana was, they called him the Chavetz Chaim Yerushalayim. He was a great man. And he had an acronym to remember all of Hilchos Toelis in Hilchos Lashon Hara in a five-letter acronym, which really, Tak, if you have it in your hand, it's very, very, very helpful. I'll make it even smaller in a moment. But what's Shtika? Shin is Sheis Bainin Hativ. Right? Make sure that what you're saying is emes. Is it emes what you're saying? Make sure it's bainin. Be misbainin ma'oid if what you're saying is emes. He has a midas kas. Why does he have a midas kas? This is one thing that it means a lot to me, this ma'isa. Why? Because recently a bacher told about somebody that he definitely has kas. He's kas, right? I was very upset about this. First of all, I know the bacher very well, and he doesn't have, he's not tips like that. What happened? I found out that Taka, the two of them, had a fight, and the father was gevaldik. They found that information from somebody that they knew had a problem with him. Brilliant. Yeah, even though the Chafetz Chaim said that's the last person to ask information from, because that person is the most negah, but we're smarter than the Chafetz Chaim. No, get from that person, right? Because all you're going to hear from that person is what? Is all of that person's chesreinah. So they found out in yeshiva there was somebody that didn't get along with him, and they wanted to know why. Okay, fine. So they found, so he said, I don't get along with him. Who else gets along with him? He's like, he's definitely, he's a kaisen, he's not in control of himself and whatever, and they killed the shidduch. Okay, fine. Yeah, Maisa, I was shocked. I didn't understand the b'chal. I found out afterward, this is somebody, he's the only person in yeshiva he doesn't get along with, right? How did the fight start? The fight started because one day the person, the bacher, came into his room and he sees that this bacher is standing on his bed in his shoes. Right? Imagine the bacher on your bed, right? Not take him out by the knees. But he's on my bed with his shoes, reaching something from my possessions. Right? So he said something not nice, like, please come down right away. You know, something like that. You know, all right, I admit, it was a little bit strong and shouldn't have said it, right? But, you know, and because of that, it was like, you know, the other person never really apologized properly and whatever, and he always, like, you know, held a grudge. Okay, I'm not saying, everybody say he was from the Sikkim and this and that, there's lots of halachas, it's not my job, right? But would you, was this Yisbayin and Heitev? Was that Yisbayin and Heitev? Yeah, he's an angry person. He hasn't beat this akaz. You have one Maisa, which based on that Maisa, you were conveying he's an angry person. He got upset with you about something. You saw one Maisa in your whole life, that's a sheker mukhlat. Your oiv on the shenar, the kol hashitas, the kol days of all the pais can never live and ever will live. Right? No shayla, or ever should live. Right? And no shayla. Right? No shayla. Right? So that's halacha number one. I gave you that example because it's karv libi, because it just happened. Right? And the person, he was very, very upset. He says, what do you mean? You know, in Hilchas Lashon Hara, you have to say in Shidduchin and this and that and whatever. And we'll see all the different halachas. This case is very good in case study for all the things he was over on. He was over on mamish every single one of the halachas. You'll see in a moment. And it brings it out. This case brings it out tremendously. And again, it's a mashal. You'll have to apply it in your own mitziusim. The second letter, second item, is Tayelis. Tayelis, one part of Tayelis is you have to be doing it, Latayelis. You know what that means? That means that you want to get this guy back. Right? Yeah? You're not allowed to say. So I went to Rabbi Yankee Fisher, Zichron Levracha, and I asked him when I was learning the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, I asked him, you know, I'm upset with this guy, what can I do? It says over here, when I'm telling that this person, let's say there's Taka something wrong with the person. There's Taka has a Midas Akas. There's Taka, you know, and they're asking you, is it Midas Akas? He Taka something wrong. But Maisa, you have your own personal experience with him, and this is great, you're able to get him back. Okay? So now, the halacha is, the Chafetz Chaim, no, you have to uproot it, Meliba, and when you're doing it, you have to be doing it, kol kulai, for the other person. You know what the lamdas is? The lamdas is gevaldig. In the pasuk, the Rechaim HaKadosh Tei Chayim, it says, Leiseilech Rochel Ba'mecha Leisamra Damriecha. What the Shaykh is, these two things in the same pasuk? Leiseilech Rochel Ba'mecha, don't be a Rochel, don't say Lashonara. In the same pasuk, Leisamra Damriecha. Don't watch your friend as they drown in the sea. And Leisamra, what Shaykh is the two things? Zokta Rechaim HaKadosh, we never speak Lashon Ra. You're never allowed to speak Lashon Hara your whole life. Never, right? You're only allowed to speak Lashon Toif. That's it. So, Leiseilech Rochel Ba'mecha, never speak Lashon Ra. But if you're doing something to help Yenim with that, you're saving the person. So that's not Lashon Ra. I'm not doing it to hurt. My tongue is not smashing somebody. What I'm doing is I'm doing it to save somebody. I'm doing it because this girl is going to be married to him and this person's on, you can't be married to such a person. So then the Maisa that you're doing is not Ra. Berege, you're doing it because you want to hurt that person. You're Oiver on Leiseilech Rochel Ba'mecha. That's the Lacha. It's like we don't need Mashalim. It's klar. It's bar what it is. It's bar. Like say, look, Rachel Ba'mecha. It's only mutter if you're doing it for the tail. So I had to sell Yankee Fisher, but I'm upset with the person. So I sell Yankee Fisher. Says there's no heter. There's no heter to say. So I tell us, you don't say. So no, what do you have to say? You mechuyev gomer. I'm not telling you to say. Mechuyev gomer. I'm not telling you. So I said, so you should say. You shouldn't say. You should say. You shouldn't say. So I said, no. Chas v'chalila. What do you have to say? You're only samar damriach. Samar damriach is she's going to go get married, and you're going to be Hashem Yerachim. What will happen? They'll get divorced after. It'll be terrible, right? Okay. So you say. No. But Vadi can't say if you still have the pain. But I can't get it out. No, you have to. This went back and forth. Now, he had a buzzer. If you sell Yankee, remember? He had a buzzer right next to him on the table. Once he had enough of you, he buzzed you out. Right? So he started pressing the buttons. I started asking him. So he had his fingers on the button. Right? It was just buzzing. Right? And then he had big guys there. That was the end. But knock upon him, that's, you know, what's the answer? The answer is you have to uproot it. You have to uproot it, and if you can't, then a chvesin is your rasha. But what can we do? You're not allowed to say, but you can. Okay, you figure out. It goes around and around. So that's tayelis. That's one part of tayelis. Another part of tayelis is there has to be tayelis. You know, sometimes you have a shver. He comes to me, says, you know, tell me about so-and-so. So-and-so, you know, didn't you make the shidduch? Yeah, I want to know what I'm getting myself into. I just want to know what I'm getting myself into. And some people, like, you know, they say, right? A very gedoyla. There's no tailus at that point, the shidduch l'shayin gemach, unless it's something that you know at that point would be a shidduch breaker when they're going to find out about it, which Mitzvah Shem will talk about those klalim in a moment. But that's tough. Tayelis, you have to. So first of all, let's go back to our friend. Avadi was over on Tayelis. Oh, I had a Tayelis. You had a Tayelis, Taka. And, you know, she broke the shit off. That's it. You had a Tayelis. But was he doing it for those reasons? No. Was he over on Lashon Hara? Clearly. No Shaila. Yud Shtika. Yud Yisavev. You have to try and get out of it. If you don't have the necessity to talk Lashon Hara and say the bad thing about somebody, the chasaron of this person, then you don't say. If you can get out of it. I give you an example. I, as a Rebbe, have this leeway a bit more than the Olam. But sometimes they'll ask me about a boy. And they'll ask me, is he showing up for davening and this and that and whatever. Right? And I'll know that they were at a different shidduch. And I know that this boy, there's definitely issues with the coming to the davenings and this, that, and whatever. No? So, you know, instead of saying, you know, no, he doesn't come, or this and that, or as much as I'm going to lessen it, etc. But instead of saying that, I know that they were read. They told me they got read this boy and this boy. I told you sometimes this is more by a rabbi, but I'm just bringing it out as a mashal, and then the examples we'll give in a moment. So I'll say, you know, I'm hearing from these two boys, it definitely sounds to me your daughter is much more for the other boy. If she wants that, this type. So what did I do? I didn't just say anything about this boy. Mom, I'm hearing the picture in general. You know, it sounds to me like she should be going out with this boy. I didn't say anything here. You know, they heard right now, Abakal said, don't go out with this boy. Fine, that's what they heard, it's true. But they also heard, go out with that boy, and you didn't speak Lashon Hara. So that's, again, if you can get out of something, you have to. You have to be very careful with this tonight, and I'll go into examples in a moment, because sometimes you think, I just want to get out of it, and doesn't. Then you're going to be over on what the Marsha said, Asakta Bepiri Verivya, and you have to speak, right? But it's an example of a situation of where you can get out of it. Like you'll say, you know, they want to know, is this boy, does he come to the Starim? Imamish doesn't come to the Starim, etc., etc. So you say, you know, let's say they're asking you, why are they asking you? It's your first cousin, it's a girl, your first cousin, and whatever. They're asking you about a certain boy. So you know this boy, it's nisht. Whatever the nisht is, there's no nisht, right? It's like, you know, like I said last week, the perfect shidduch, a perfect shidduch, right? It's like saying, what's the perfect bus? Well, I want to take the best bus. The bus is going there. If you're going to there, that's the best bus. The shidduch, there's no shidduch, there's no best shidduch. But you know it's not for your cousin Bechlal. So you just say, listen, it's mamish not for her. It's mamish not for her. I can't, you know, I can't explain. There's no shaykhis. All the things that she's looking for is not this boy or whatever. So then you got out of it. You didn't say any lashon hara. You didn't speak out and anything. And most people, once they hear that already from a cousin and whatever, they get already nervous enough that they're not going to take the shidduch. But if you can get out of it, that's yisafif. Okay. The next one is kuf, shtika. Kuf is kava mishkoilis. You have to weigh what you're saying, and this is very, very related to what we spoke about. You have to weigh. Kava mishkoilis, like with a weigh. You have to weigh what you're saying. Number one, not to be magzim, not to be exaggerating, if you're exaggerating a problem. And number two, the exact opposite. Sometimes, like I mentioned before, what you're saying is being magnified. So therefore, sometimes you have to taka, be magnifying in the other direction. You're saying, look, this boy, you know that this boy, we'll get to better examples in a moment, but you know that this boy, he misses a minion once in a while. Derek Law comes to minion, but he misses a minion once in a while. Okay? They want to know, this boy, does he come to minion? Does he always go to minion? Does he ever miss a minion? Does he ever miss a minion, right? So first of all, we get back into our old parsha now, right? That's how people ask questions nowadays. They ask it with extremities. Does he ever miss a minion? All right? So they're asking with extremities, right? So, what's the answer to the question? The answer to the question is yes. Everybody misses a minion, right? There's nobody who doesn't, that's what we're thinking. We're Bachram, right? There's nobody nowadays that doesn't miss a minion. Like, what are you talking about, right? If you answer that, you know what you just told them? They ask with extremities and they magnify answers, right? So, what'd you just tell them? You just tell them, no, he doesn't daven in a minion. Ah, yeah, no, on Yom Kippur he does. No, Yom Kippur he does. I mean, not all five tefillos in Yom Kippur, but you know. But he davens, does he daven in a minion? That's what they're hearing. On the other hand, right? Sometimes by a girl who saw by her father that this is a fellow who never missed a minion, you know, he waits for the snow of 3 feet so that he can go to the minion in 3 feet snow. Right? He wants this more snow, more snow. There's some people that the minion man, there's a Gansaleb in his minion, right? So and she saw that by her father, and she cannot respect the boy that once a week is going to miss a minion. She won't be able to respect it. It'll be very painful. Okay, it's something that is negay and etzim shidduch. Right? But so now you have to be able to say it with such a clarity to him that he doesn't magnify. When you do have to say it. So you're going to say, look, there are boys that definitely miss minion much more than him. Right? And he's, do you want to know, did he ever never miss a minion? He'll miss a minion once in a while. But when you say it like that, so you were able to get in the Nakuda in such an oifen that you didn't destroy him, you didn't give them the ability to magnify, and there's something there. Okay. Again, the example, I'm using that as a marshal. When I go in a moment to actual Prite Prate Alocha, that's Kava Mishkoilis, and the hay is Hefsid. You're not allowed to cause him an unnecessary Hefsid. That means that, and this is a very, 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 very serious thing, right? Agav, if you're cheshbening, he was still over on every one of the things we were talking about, but I'm not coming back to him anymore. But he was over on Kav Mishkoilis, he's over on Yisav. Unnecessary hefsid means, let's say you're talking to somebody that you know, this is an example of unnecessary hefsid, but you know that when you're going to say this person's specific problem that he has, that whatever the case is, you're allowed to say. So, now you say it. You know it's not going to stop there. you know that this person who you're speaking to is going to spread this around and tell it to people where it's not negaya. You know the person you're talking to, that's the type of person they are. All right? This is an example. That's called unnecessary hetzer. You have no hetzer to speak lashon hara. Because now it becomes lashon hara. Remember, I told you, you never have had to speak lashon hara. You only allowed to speak lashon toiv. So if it's called kulay lashon toiv, it's called kulay a saving of somebody. So then you're allowed to speak it. And fakar you mechuyev to, and it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah of the greatest nature of leisam adam reyecha. But perega that you know it's going to go unnecessary hafsid, it's going to cause this person more and more damage, which is not right. Right? What's not right is, you know, he doesn't necessarily. So there's a lot of boys that not going to minyan all the time. A lot of boys, unfortunately, right? And there's a girl for him, right? There's a girl who's going to be saying, don't go to minyan today, right? There's a girl for him. But what happened? You know this person, number one, they're magnifying, and number two, they're telling. So what, he's going to be going around saying, oh, this person never goes to minyan, he doesn't doubt it. I'm telling you, this is the reality. If you don't know this reality exists, and you don't know what's going on in the world. And for just to shrek lechazach, there are some shadchanim that are shayim gemurim lekol hadeis no shayla. And they do this. I'm not telling you the names of them until after this year, of course. But it's a ayim v'noira. And they walk around, some of them, with a heter of shadchan. It's dreadful. I said, one shadchan called me, and I called them. I'm sorry, I called them. And I said to him, you know, you went around and told that this boy wasn't a minion, whatever, right? But you said that this boy doesn't go to Seder. He says, I'm his rabbi. I know exactly what this boy does. Right? He's not the biggest master. How do you tell people that he never shows up and whatever and this and that? She says, what do you mean? I should, and the whole speech. She's the biggest tzaddikus that ever was. Sorry, Meinu is nishkeven azat tzaddikus. By the time I hung up with her, I was thinking myself, "Bani Dam God." I thought for sure Sarah was the biggest tzaddik. You know, the Baba Sarah, right? Now I'm a sepik. Now I'm a sepik. It was such a tzaddikus, such a meridic, self-proclaimed tzaddikus, who's for sure bevadai of the greatest rishoyim in our world. She's destroying this person's life, and she's doing this to other people. Other people. She's going around, the boy can't get a shit off because she feels it's her duty and her responsibility and this and that and the chulei. And it's a such a thing. Boy's life is ruined. And if it was one boy, it's one boy. She ruined many boys' lives. Yeah, so what do you do? And how do you don't know. You don't have to assume a person's a Rasha. You don't have to assume a Vada. But let's say you know this person is a balas, very big problem. I had a terrible problem, this. I didn't speak about this with such emphasis in the last year, but unfortunately, like you heard, I'm Isaac now, not in 15, I'm Isaac in 20. It's terrible. Boys suffer like you can't imagine because of this problem. Don't be the one that makes him suffer. It's a problem. So that's the klal. That's the klal. Okay, now I'll give you examples.
What
should you say to such a person? Wait, Bez Hashem. I mean, you guys, all you got was the klal. You got the klal. Bez Hashem. Now you... We'll try now. Ms. Emes, one more. There's war klal. There's one more side. I said I have to mention that there's another type of lying, which is to get the ball rolling, to get the shidduch starting, right? Which is, there's a story with the Chazanish that brings it out. It brings it out very well. The Chazanish once went over to a certain bacher. I told the bacher, listen, I need you to ret such and such girl to your chavrusa. So the bacher said, what? This boy was a very chashuva boy. The chavrusa, very chashuva boy, is coming from a very chashuva family and whatever. And this girl, she's coming from Nishkin Gittahayim and whatever, the whole thing. And the chazanish said, look, I'm asking you to do it. Don't say the chazanish. He's so mean. Don't say the chazanish asked you. He also doesn't want to be the one, right? But I want you to read this shidduch. And the person, he told me the story, he said the chazanish, mamish, she made him believe that Pasha Shidduchin is so important and this. And, you know, I can't be involved for whatever reason, but, you know, how could you say no to help a fine? So the person here from the chazanish, imagine you're the shalucha, the rabbanon. So he goes over to the bacher. The bacher tells the bacher he has a certain shidduch suggestion, right? The bacher was so insulted, you know, he found out with the family. So he didn't want to learn with him for like, you know, that was it. You don't want to learn with him almost anymore. I should go out with such a girl. It's like such a chutzpah that you read such a shidduch and this and that and whatever. And he was desperate. He wanted to say, the chazanish. It's not me, it's him. Can't say. Okay. Next day, the boy gets engaged. The same boy gets engaged. His chavrusa gets engaged. 2 days later, whatever, gets engaged. Fine. Okay. Plot thickens. He finds out who's the shatchin? The chazan ish. The chazan ish is the shatchin on the chavrusa. Now he's really upset. So he went to the chazan ish to ask him, Mapesha Adavar. When he walked in, the chazan ish stood up. Hey, look at Chazanish. The Chazanish stood up and he said to him, Mazel tov, du bist der Shadchan. He said, what, my eyes? He says, what happened? It was Mamish. He says, the boy was going out with a certain girl. And he came and he had a shayla, and the Chazanish held the shidduch was good. But the Maisa, he felt he can get better. He felt he can get something better, and if he waits, he'll get something better. And he thinks he's going to say no, and the Chazanish told him, you're making a mistake. And he said, but no, he didn't know what to do. And the Chazanish felt he was... So he read him a shidduch that, a little bit worse than this girl, for shteis, right? And because of that, mazel tov yod ha-shadchin. Is that a sheker? That's the chachma of kol ha-toyra kula, of all the svarim on the shelf. All the svarim on the shelf making a shidduch. That's Eoyv saying, I'm related to her. What's the hezber? My hezber adover, right? When do we lie? When do we not lie? Right? 24, 27, what's going on here? So 24, 27, unfortunately, nowadays is easy to understand. Because when you're 24, you say you're 27. So the word 24 means 27. Yeah? So if you say that you're actually 27, then you're 36. I'm not saying if I advocate this or not, but if that's the world you live in, then you learned already a lesson in what's called sheker and what's called... But the Chazanish, the hezber, the Chazanish, them is found in his brother-in-law, in the stipler, in Yevamis. It was maybe it's toward the end. I know they changed around in the volume, so maybe it's now Memvav. I think it used to be Memhei Memvav. So the stipler has a tremendous side, which is a side in the Paiskim. I'm saying, but the stipler is something that's a nice reading about it. Is the stipler explains that there are certain things, a book, if it has a scratch in it, it's a Mekach Tayis. Because why do I want a book with a scratch in it? Why do I want a sefer with a scratch? If I can get a sefer without a scratch, then why do I want this one? There's five copies of the Kibbutz Mefarshim. So why in the world do I want the one with the scratch? I want to make my own scratch. As I mentioned, that's how they are. So Mela, that could be a Mekach Tayis even on a... It could be even a tiny scratch, and that's a Mekach Tayis. But without the stipler, Shidduch is Nishtazeh. The Shidduch doesn't work. It's a tiny scratch. In every single Shidduch, there's nobody in the world that if he would know all the information that he knows about his wife, 2, 3, 4 years into the marriage, nobody would marry. I'm being a shidduch right now. They tell me, okay, she's this, she's going to get upset with you when you come home late one time. By the way, one time she's going to say this to you, and one time this, and oh, and let's get to the shvigar. Right? So he has all these things. He said, why should I go to chatchila to such a shidduch? Am I crazy? Right? So a shidduch doesn't work like that. One scratch. A shidduch works in how many things, what is going to be marriage breaking? What's going to be something that you can't live with this girl? Right? What's going to be something about her that if you get it, you might have to live with her, but you're going to be suffering or whatever, whatever. That's what we're trying to figure out here. So the melee, you need to get it started. So for example, you have a boy, in that case, he's 24 years old. Right, he's 27 years old. Right? So here, the Maisa, he's going out with a girl. She's 22. Right? So she doesn't want to go out with a boy who's 27. She doesn't want to go out with a boy who's 27. If you're going to say he's 24, it's going to get the shidduch started. And then he's an erlich person, he's a responsible person. She's going to find out. Is there something marriage-breaking about 27 and 24? There's not, right? I'll bring you a raya, right? I was 20. I wasn't really 20. I was really 19 and something when I got when it went out. Okay, so the shadchan... So Zayin Gezunt, he did a good job, right? The Shadchan told the people, he says, I think he's about 20, right? Anyway, he's 20, he's closer to 21. Yeah, for sure, right? No, okay, she was 21. So I'm not sure, I think she's 20, but even if she's 20, right, I think she's closer to 19. So I was older than her. Right? I was older than her, right? So he did a good job. Right, good job, you hips, a young boy, you don't want to... Okay, that's in the world of 19 and 20 and 21, right, it tucking makes a bigger deal, obviously, and there are ages where it makes a difference. You have a girl, when it's taka much older, then you need to really ask a shayla. Because then it comes a point that we're taka a certain age. She's 34, she's 35, she's 36. She's taka can't have children. It's not so simple. So you say a 35-year-old girl, and you say she's 29, that's not so posh it. It's not so pasha, because it's something that, okay, maybe to get the ball rolling, maybe some rabbanim would allow that. Because if she's going to be erlich enough to say, but when's she going to say? Right? If she's going to say, when they're emotionally attached and they're close to everything and it's the seventh, eighth, ninth date already and it looks like it's going very well, it's a lot of agmas nefesh, because it's something that there's a very, very high stabris that the person's going to say no. The question at a saif, obviously, I can't go into, because each case is different and each permutation is different. And many of these shilas I asked Rav Liashiv, and there were times he said, no, you can't do that. This is not called getting it started. Right? This is something that everyone is makbid on, and therefore you can't lie. And then there were things that he said, no, this you can say 100%. And there were some things he said, that's not even a sheker. It's emes mamash. But you have to have the chacham in this, right? The Stipler's examples are extreme. I can't go into Stipler's examples. He's mamash extreme things, right? Mashal, you know, unfortunately, under the yoyman, you know, a person who's on medication. Is on medication. So the klalim that the Rabbanim basically give over is if you know that boy is going to say, you know, you're privy to the information, and by the way, you must be privy to the information. You know, there was once a bacher who told another cousin that was in Shidduchin, nobody called him, nobody anything. He says, I'm a roommate, you better look into it, he takes pills. Right? That was it. The second they heard that, the shidduch was over. They didn't look into it, they didn't anything, and it became known that this bacher takes pills. Right? Me and that bacher take the same pills. We take the same pills. I take vitamin C every single day. You think I'm joking. This bacher's life was ruined for a year. If I take vitamin C, he takes vitamin C. But the person saw every single day he was taking a pill. It's not so common for a bacher to take vitamin C every single day. It's not so bacher for him to make his bed every day. A lot of things the bacher doesn't do. So this is the one bacher who absolutely makes his bed every single day. He also takes vitamin C every day. But you know, when you mistake vitamin C for Prozac, and other, you know, thing, lithium and other types of examples of drugs that I wouldn't want my daughter to be married to such a boy, et cetera, et cetera. So then, you know, then this boy's not going to be able to find the shidduch. And when people say, yeah, there was an issue with pills. No, but it's not really true. That's it. It's over. Once I heard the word, checkmate. It's over. Very difficult. So there are, but going back, you were disappointed and hated. You looked at the, you know, you looked at the actual bottle, and you saw on it serious mental illness. Right? Gets extremely upset when people look at his possessions. You know, whatever. Mamish, you know for sure, 100%, he's taking pills and whatever. So you know, it's a very big shaila because if you know that he's going to say. And most Erlich HaBakram nowadays, it's a seldom case. Unfortunately, that one case we hear about is unfortunately the one case we hear about that the boy didn't say and whatever. You know, most normal Erlich boys are going to say, if you're nervous, you have to go over to him and say, look, I know, I won't say anything, but I want to make sure you're going to say. And that's the halacha. Because he has a right to get the ball rolling and get the game started. And then it's the klalim of the paiskim is that when it's somewhat that the shidduch has already started and there's something there, there's a boy, there's something I can go out with, so then the third date, whatever, so he says, or he says it in his way, or the Rebbe says it, whatever the klalim are, but at least the ball got started. And if they would ask you in that case, there have been people that have called me up and asked me, is this boy on medication? And I knew for sure this boy is going to say, and I said no. Right, the place can say, you should try not to say it with an emphatic shake. No, whatever I say, not that I know of, I don't think so. I'm, you know, don't know why, there's no reason to be chayshu such a thing, whatever. And then they would call me back, some people call me back on the fourth date, and they would tell me, you should know this boy, he's on medication. Right? And I tell them, listen, you should know one thing, I know. Okay? And you can't tell anybody this information. And then right away when they hear that, they say, you know, why did you tell us? You're a sheker. You're a sheker. And then I tell them the whole speech you're getting tonight. Some of them listen, some of them don't. Right? I don't understand this. Would you want this for your daughter? Would you want this for your daughter that somebody was on pills? I said, if this was your son, wouldn't you want that somebody should give him a chance? That's how it works, everybody says. Some people listen, some people don't listen. Right? But that's the klal. If you know the boy's not going to say, then that is something which is marriage-breaking. There's no shaila. If you know the boy's not going to say, he's also a rami, and unfortunately you have to say, and ad kedei kach, if you know he's not going to say, and even if they don't ask you, you're allowed to offer up the information. It's ad kedei kach, because it's marriage-breaking for sure, especially it's even more marriage-breaking because of the fact that he didn't say. Right? So that's a davar bar. It's like that with a lot of things. Now, I'll give you different examples. Now that we have the whole gamut, the whole klalim, all the picture, and but, you know, I'll give you a few examples that the Bachram always ask me about. The smoking. All right? Does he smoke? Okay? Does he smoke? All right? So they want to know, does he smoke? So there's different ways they ask the question. One way they ask the question is, right, my daughter wants a boy, never had a cigarette in his life. Okay. No, you can all laugh. Okay. All right? Yeah. We know that there's no such thing as a boy that never had a cigarette in his life. There's always one boy in the room that says, I never had a cigarette my whole life. Right? Okay, there's only one of you. Right? I know. Usually I get to share there's like eight of those one of yous, but we know that nowadays it's a very uncommon thing that you have a boy that never had a cigarette. He tried it on Purim, he tried it on Simchas Torah, he tried it on, yeah, I don't know why Simchas Torah is the day that you smoke, I don't know, later. But that's the reality, right? He tried it on whatever, and he tries it every day later. But we know that there's not such a thing of a boy that didn't smoke somehow. Okay. But we know that there's a, we know, we live in the world over here, and we know this boy doesn't smoke. A boy that has a cigarette on a Purim, he has a cigarette on it. But if you tell this father, the way he's talking, I want a boy who never had a cigarette in his life, right? So if you tell him, no, he never had a cigarette in his life, on Purim he smokes, whatever, right? What did you just say? What did you just say? The father has an image of a boy, he has like an undershirt rolled up with a cigarette pack in it over here, he's got one cigarette over there, he's got one in the pack, he's got six in his mouth, right? You know, and he's, and on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, when he puts on his Shabbos cheese, he puts a patch over here, and a nicotine patch over here, one over there, one over there, and one in the spare. And so that's what he's saying. Because that's, you know, when you're dealing with such a person, that he's saying, I don't want a boy who smokes, then the magnification of what he's going to hear is of such, right? So in that case, Kol HaTorah Kula allows us to tell him, no, he doesn't smoke, he never smoked. Again, like I said, you don't want to maybe say an outward checker and then say, I never saw him smoke in my life. You know, you're even allowed to say that, because the pshat is that, what is he asking for? He's asking, I don't want a boy who smokes, right? This boy doesn't smoke and he's not going to smoke. Okay. But the question goes up and up, you know. You have a boy, he does smoke. He smokes one a day. A cigarette a day, every day, at the end of the day, he winds down. The boy tells you, for sure, the second I get married, I'm not going to have a cigarette again. And this is a very difficult parsha, because there's one a day, there's three a day, there's five a day, there's the level of kibbutz of the girl. Some girls, right, it's by them, they're totally repulsed by it, right? And she'll be totally devastated. And by some of the parents, it's worse than, you know, by the parents, unfortunately, nowadays, some of them, it's worse than the biggest crimes. It's smoking, it's worse than the biggest crimes, right? And becomes very nishpashit. A boy that tells you, I'm smoking one a day, two a day, and after the chasen, I'm going to stop. So the reality is that it's not so simple. It's not so simple. That doesn't really happen. The boy smokes one a day, two a day, and whatever, and life has its pressures, and whatever, and he tells his colleague he's going to stop, and whatever. Reality is not like that, right? Now, to go and say, again, the same thing, if you say, yeah, he smokes one cigarette a day, right. So again, unfortunately, because of the world that we live in, the words you just said are emes, but they're not emes. Because what did he just hear? He just says, yeah, he smokes. He smokes, doesn't smoke a lot, but he smokes every day, which is not true. He smokes only one a day. Right? It's not so true what you just said. So then you have to say, you could say he smokes a little bit, or very, very little bit. You know, he's not like the big smokers, right? Because you're giving them that there's something, but I'm worried he's going to stop, and right? And now, you know, this is very nerve-wracking for a lot of people sitting in this room, right? Because the people are sitting and they're looking at the person next to them, and now he's going to have to say and this and that, right? You know, what can I tell you? It's not simple. You have to know your customer. You have to know who you're talking to. If the person says, you know this is a person that has a cigarette on Motzei Shabbos, on Thursday nights he has cigarettes. Right? And such a type of a matzav. You know, he's a chalda smoker, but he has a social cigarette with people around him. So he has a cigarette, so they have a cigarette, so he has a cigarette, right? So his wife, unless she smokes, he's not going to have that issue, right? He's not going to have that social, and she sounds like somebody who's not so interested in smoking, right? So then, again, you get a bit more leeway. If you're not exactly sure how to answer this question, right? So it's very simple. Nowadays it's simple. In the olden days, you had to fake a heart attack. Right? Because if you're going to say, 1 minute, I have to ask my Rebbe what I'm allowed to say. I'm not sure how many cigarettes I'm allowed to tell you about. Then the shit is over, right? But now it's very simple. You just hang up the phone and hang it up the gamre, right? You know, and you call him back an hour later, and sorry, my phone fell in the Yam HaMelech. Sorry. It's been in rice for the last hour. I'm very sorry. And you'll call up your local Orthodox rabbi, and hopefully he'll tell you exactly how to answer. You'll describe to him what they're asking and what they're... Sometimes you have to do that the first second of the phone call. The problem is, if you tell your parents and you go home now, okay, whenever you have a shidduch shaila about my sister and you call any of them, if they hang up the phone call right away, you know there's something... but it's true. If you know that there's a boy, they're asking you about a certain boy, or you're about to be asked about a certain boy. So you call up and you say, what am I allowed to say? What am I allowed not to say? And how do I say it? How do I say it? And I know these people are machmed on this, and you have to know. Because here, you're doing an operation. So you can't just be an intern that is, I think that's a kishka. I'm not sure if it's a liver or heart. I'm not so, right? You're dealing with a shidduch, which can ruin not just this shidduch, it can ruin all of his shidduchin. You don't realize the extent of how serious the words that are coming out of your mouth are. Right? Another example. Smoking is a hard example because it has so many variations, right? Another example is drinking. Drinking. Yeah, so there are some people that every Friday night they go to Shalom Zachar and they get drunk. Right? I don't have that many friends that have Shalom Zachars every Friday night. They find one. Right? Or they make one. Okay. Right? And the parents now, some of the smart parents, right? If you educate your parents and you teach them what questions to ask. So you tell your parents that when they're asking for your sister, so they say, does he drink? No, so it wasn't me. So if you say yes, what did they just hear? No matter what the case is, but if you say he drinks, right? So what they just hear? They hear he's rolling around, right? Yeah, exactly. Right? He's rolling around. I'm thinking of a picture in my mind of might say Purim, that there was somebody in the, you know, that green garbage that they have, right? He was rolling in there, right? And then I look and I see he has a friend next to him, right? So that's what they're thinking. He's the third guy, right? You know, rolling. If you say he drinks, that's what their picture is, right? On the other hand, this is a very, very serious shaila, because the girls are, if he had enough seichel to ask, does he drink? It's a lot of times because he's extremely misnaged to it, and the girl has a chinuch that that's like the worst thing. So, you know, you can't say he drinks, but let's say Itaka drinks. He drinks more. You know, if he has a shot of whiskey at a kiddush, at a l'chaim or whatever, and you're going to say he drinks, you are being over on lashon hara. You're being over on sheker. You're ruining his life. He has a drink at a simcha and just said he drinks. Because by you, that even that you don't do, what are you doing? Right? On the other hand, if you know that whenever he goes to a simcha, he comes out a little bit more freilich than everybody else, a little bit more, right? So then, you know, there's something to it. Something, but you can't say he's a drinker. Can't say he's a drinker. In this situation, I'm describing that. Can't say he's a drinker. On the other hand, you have to say, you know, you say, he's not going to, you know, if there's a shot of whiskey at a Shalom Zachar, he's going to drink it. Now, what did you just say? What'd you say? If he doesn't drink, even at the Shalom Zachar, if he only has one shot of whiskey at a Shalom Zachar, you're not going to say that, right? So you just said something that he's anyways going to magnify. That's the reality. That's the reality. Anybody who walks out of here and says, oh, you know, he taught us how to lie, and what he taught, it's not fair, and it's not right the way he said it. It's just not a part of this world. You don't know what's going on. If I hear, when somebody's talking to me on a conversation, that he has a shot of whiskey at a Shalom Zachar, right? So then the person's going to say, you know, a Shalom Zachar who doesn't have a shot of whiskey, and you say, no, yes, he has two shots of whiskey, you know. So he just heard what? He heard there's something there. He heard there's something there. You didn't give him more, you didn't magnify it, you didn't let him magnify it, and you gave him that there's something there. Same thing as Asmada. Asmada, they ask you, is this boy a masmid? We spoke already what his Agdara is of masmid, and you're on the same wavelength. Now you know how to answer him. This is a boy who the Shver, all the songs, they mamish, they sit and learn from the beginning of the Seder to the end of the Seder, and that's what the daughter is expecting, that type of a boy. Right? This boy doesn't do that. This boy doesn't do that. And he asks, is he a masmid like my sons? Right? He's a masmid like my sons, right? So now you got to answer him, right? And the boy doesn't sit from the beginning of the Seder. But if you say Taka, you don't know 100% if he's on the ball about his daughter. You don't know that, right? But if you say, no, he's not a masmid, right? He's not a masmid. You know, the shidduch is over no matter what. Because by him, you just told him that my son-in-law is not going to be a masmid and people know it. So it's over, right? You have to say, you know, he comes to every Seder. You say it with the milas. He comes to every single Seder. You know, your boys are miyuchad mamish. They don't miss a second or whatever. But this is a boy that doesn't miss a Seder, right? You know, but you can't compare it to your boy. Your boy's mamish. They never miss. You just said a totally different answer. You just said totally different. One thing is saying he's not a matzmid, he's a late, he's an amaret, he's a... it's a totally different... A totally different agdara. I see we are at 1 hour and 6 minutes, and I only go 1 hour, so I'll go to 1 hour and 10 minutes. Right, we'll go 3 more minutes. Because this bamis is all these other types of shilas, you know, you're going to have to pratiyistik ask them, but now you have the limit of how to ask and how to answer. I can't give more than that. In a klaliyistik, you really can't. That's the amis. But I did want to mention one more thing, which is, what shilas should we be asking? It's important to teach parents a little bit what shilas to ask also. This is going to go much faster. It's not a, you know, you don't necessarily have to ask all the cliche questions that are being asked. You don't. You don't have to ask. You don't have to ask, you know, does she have Simchas Achayim? And I wrote down the cliche shilas. Does she have Simchas Achayim? Is she smart? Is she popular? Is she buy lettuce? No, that's the other side of Bina Magazine. Sorry. That's whatever. Okay? Right? What does it mean, does she have Simchas Achayim? Right? When you're going to hear Berega, you have to remember, if the question's not important to you, Berega, they answer it. They say, she's a happy girl, but, you know, Berega, you didn't hear the word bubbly and whatever, you get nervous, right? You start getting nervous. So if it's not important to you, the question, it's something you'll be able to figure on a day. I'm not saying if it's important, you should ask the question, right? But don't necessarily ask every question because they ask the questions. And it's a hard thing I'm saying, but just people ask me questions in such a cliche dicka oifen. They just ask a list of questions, and because of that, the things that are important to them doesn't get asked properly. I'll give you an example. The one question that you should ask is Taka, mental illness and physical illness. You should ask the question, right? Not everybody went to a shir on Maitre Shabbos and knows that, you know, the girl might not say till the third date, number one. Number two, and I'm not going to say number two in public, but the boys, like I mentioned last time, a lot more mekusha to the Rebbeim, and have a lot more of these klalim, and if there are physical and mental issues, most boys do wind up saying. It's a klal, it's a roiv atali bedavar that the Pnei Yeshua says in Nishkin roiv, right? But it's somewhat of a... And the girls, it's not exactly always like that. Okay? So therefore, ask the question, is there physical illness? Is there a mental illness? Is there emotional illness? Etc. Okay. Dailach hakim mer bermizim. Okay. That's number two. Number three is, you should ask current shidduch information. Right? Do not ask, you could ask, right? But it's not a raya at all if you're asking a 11th grade teacher of a girl who's now 20 years old, right? Or a 10th grade teacher of a girl who's 20 years old. Unfortunately, the 10th grade teachers don't get asked that many questions, so they would love to answer, right? They get very excited. Someone's asking them a shidduch question. Usually 15-year-old girls, they don't get this. So male, they get all excited to answer, right? And they also think that they're helping a lot. So therefore, whatever she was when she's 15 is not current information. It is totally valueless. Right, who she is now at the age of 20 is not who she was at the age of 15, or we have bigger problems. Right? So therefore, I don't find that that's necessary. If she's on her list, that means obviously she stayed close with her, et cetera, et cetera. So then obviously, it's a different story. It means that she has a connection to this person as a person. And then that would be called current. Right? Or, that might be a very good thing to realize. When you're calling a shidduch info, and she's giving you the teacher from the 10th grade, because she knew that there she was good, right? And the teacher says, yeah, I had her in 10th grade, and you maybe should ask the question, do you have anything to do with her? Right, so she says, "Yeah, oh, yeah, Taka. I was in shul last Shabbos, and I saw her." Right? So then she has nothing to do with her, and the person that's on her list in shidduch information is her 10th grade teacher. Right? Where has she been for the last 4 years? Right? We want to know the answer to that question. Yes, very important. Right? You should ask. This is coming from my wife, who's in seminary. Did she get along with other girls in seminary? Right? Was she somebody that was, you know, this is something that is important. I asked my wife, is it a common problem? She says, no, but if you get that girl, you don't want her. If she's somebody who's in the seminary, you all know there's that one bacher in the dira or in the dormitory or something that, you know, it's difficult for us to be soivel him. And it's difficult for anybody, even his parents. So, you know, there's the same type of thing with a girl. You ask that question. Ask, is she somebody that people in the dormitory ask the seminary teachers, ask the people. Another klal gadol. If you call up one person, and you know, she went to a certain sem, so you call up somebody in the sem you have a shaychus to. I get this all the time. The person says, I don't know her so well, ask somebody else. That's a normal thing to say. People do that all the time. You know, I don't know her so well. I get this all the time. People say that this Rebbe said that the Pshagi is close to him. Call up a Pshagi. Okay, so I get that all the time. But let's say you call up somebody in the Sem, and, you know, they say, you say so-and-so. They say, I'm not so close to her. Maybe try this and this person. You try that person. I'm not so close to her. Maybe try this and this person. And this goes on and on, right? So there's Akasha. By the time you get to the cook, right? You know, and the cook says, like, you know, I'm not so close there. And he puts you on to the janitor. He just says, listen, the janitor, the language is not exactly the same. But that's why, for sure, you should ask her. You know, so then there's a problem. There's a kasha here. You know, if you see that you're being drained, then, you know, it's because they're afraid to say something. And you have an answer. I mean, you know, it's definitely something to be looking into. And the last thing is that in our door, a girl that left seminary, so, you know, she's not in seminary anymore. Let's say she's 19 years old, or she's, let's say, you know, she's out of seminary a year or whatever. She's 20 and whatever. So a very important question to ask is, does she have any shaychus anymore to some type of a Yiddishkeit, right? And I'm not interested just as, you know, does she daven every day, which is also important, or whatever. No, that's not. But, you know, a girl that has not been exposed to some type of ruchnis, she goes to shir once a week, something, there's a problem. We're not living in Radin in the year 1926. We're not living at a time when the Metzias of, actually, in the year 1926 in Radin, she better be going to a shir. But we're not living in Preshburg in 1826. And that if she's not going to a shir, but she's seeing her mother and sitkanisim all day long and whatever, it's not like that. If she's not connected somehow to something of a chshivis, right, there's a problem. There's a problem. There's definitely a koishi. It's a problem. Well, you know, she went to seminary for a year. 2 years ago, and for the last 2 years, all she does all day is she does her job and whatever, and you know, and we all know that generally the again, I say I speak up piroivs, and you can't speak up piroivs, but I do. So the roiv of that girl that's not connected to anything in a shidduch, and she also has an interesting phone. It's a very, very smart phone. Yeah? And you know, it's a kasha. That's the reality, you know. And people don't ask these questions. There are other questions that I'm not going to tell you because that's pratiistic. But these are questions that are going to get every single person. He's a bachur in yeshiva. He wants a girl who's going to respect Torah, is going to respect the boy. He's going to learn for a year, for 2 years, for a few years, for whatever amount of years he's learning. She's not involved in anything in ruchnias. It's a kasha, right? So then what happens? You get married, and all of a sudden, it's not so simple. This is coming from, unfortunately, knowledge, and not from, speculation. Now, I'm done with the shiur. Right? I'm sure you're all very happy. You can't have nothing else to complain about. Right? But I have, anybody wants to leave, should leave. I have just 5 minutes worth of practical questions. Don't worry, it's not as exciting. So if you want to leave, leave. It's more like questions that I was asked about shidduchin, like, you know, when the mothers have the same names and that. I don't want to give a whole shiur on it, so I want to mention it for 5 minutes, and it's taka going to be for 5 minutes. So everyone wants to leave, should leave. And it's not so controversial. So you didn't miss much. Right? You missed halacha, which is very important, right? But it's not as controversial. It's very good. You know, leave. So they see I taka mean it, right? Just leave, just get out, get out, get out. The names work anyways. They shtim bochus shem zayin bayis nem Yisrael, and get out. Yeah. He knows. Now, so I just mentioned because I get asked this all the time. I'm not going to go. It's a whole shiur I give, but this is the last of the shidduchin shiur, probably. So the ma'isa, at least as a package deal, I want you to at least get out that chelik of it. Number one is that I was asked that the Gemara says in Pesachim that a bas koyin shouldn't marry an amaretz. Bas Koyin shouldn't marry an Amaretz, right? So I get asked this a lot. The person gets read the Shidduch of a Bas Koyin, he's a Koyin. He doesn't know what to do. He says, the Gemara says, I don't want, like Nichalei L'Aaron. Aaron doesn't want to make a Shidduch with me, and whatever. So there's two Nisqayas, and this I asked Rav Eliashiv. Rav Eliashiv said, if he's Yeshiva Bacher, which is Erlich Yeshiva Bacher, so then he can go out. That's what I heard from Rav Eliashiv's mouth. If he's Erlich Yeshiva Bacher, it's Peseder, he can go out with a Bas Koyin. And Mar says it's a scary thing. I'm saying that's why you need what I'm saying now. They say a nusach from the Stipler that any of us can't the Gemara. Anybody who knows the Gemara is a shayna talmud chachem enough. It's a gnik shayna talmud chachem. I don't know, because over here I told you the Gemara. Maybe if you knew the Gemara before tonight. Right, so lay there. That's one thing that I got asked a lot. Another question I get asked a lot is the names. Everybody knows Rabbi Yehuda Chassid has a tzava. In the tzava, he says that if your name is the same as the shver, if your wife's name is the same as the shviger, it's a problem. And everyone knows this Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And the question always is to what extent should we be makbid on this? To what extent, if the mechotanim's names are the same, if the machatenist's names are the same, it's a very big shayla. You get this shayla once a week at least. I'm saying I get this shayla at least once a week at least, which means that there's probably people that are getting this a lot more than that. Just, you have to know, everyone knows there's a big parshin, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, do we yell to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid? Nah, Rav Moshe wasn't chayshid for Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. It wasn't chayshid for this one specifically. It wasn't chayshid. And if somebody would ask him that the daughter has the same name as the shviger, right? The girl has the same name as the shviger, or the son has the same name as the shver, so Ramayshu B'chlal wasn't chayshid. B'chlal u'chlal not. The Chassam Sefer writes that since I didn't find this in the Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, therefore you don't have to be makbid. So I saw one Sefer brings down, therefore you see, the Chassam Sefer was Meikel, and of course that's a Tais Gomer, because now we have Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and the version that the Chassam Sefer had didn't have it in it. So that's a mefershin of some cipher that if he would have found it in Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, then he would have been makbid. So that's vada. The some cipher was yes makbid. We'll say the Rav Moshe was not makbid. Rav Sheinberg Zecharin Levracha told me to tell people don't be makbid. The Chazanish, they would ask the Chazanish. The Chazanish had an interesting nusach. The Chazanish would say, are you makbid? His lashon was, I saw him one sefer, Liba Noikif. Somebody told me in Yiddish, the Gezak, the makbid of them. Like he would ask him, are you makbid of them? You know, he would give him the chance to say, no, I'm not makbid. And once he would say, no, the Chazanish was okay, invite them into Shidduch. If the person would say makbid, oh, the bis makbid, there's no makbid. You want to be makbid? So the Chazanish is now something in the middle. It depends if you're makbid. Interesting. Rav Eliashiv was extremely makbid. Any shayla I ever asked Rav Eliashiv, extremely makbid. We'll see in a minute he had certain aterim, but he was makbid. And it's interesting to know is that the Chaim Kanievsky is quite makbid. I say it's interesting because the Chazanish I just told you wasn't so makbid. and that means his uncle wasn't so makbin. We know everything by Chaim was what the Chazon Ish said. Kanira Heshver had a tremendous hashpa, and Rav Yashiv Taka was very makbin, and Rechaim is makbin. And if you ask the child to Rechaim, so then without one of the terim I'm going to say, he's going to be makbin. That's the reality nowadays. Right? If you ask me, my psak is very simple. We'll give you a list of the terim in a moment, but the psak is you have to ask a shayla. The Bnei Yisachar writes that some people are makbin Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, some people are not makbin Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and the ikar is that you'll ask the shayla, and with that you'll get siyat to the shmaya. Because the Indian of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is an Indian of Amunah and Talmid Chachamim and Tzadikim. So if you ask your tzaddik, your Talmud Chacham, and your tzaddik, your Talmud Chacham tells you it's no problem, it's no problem. Now, you know, you have to know. If you know that you have no shaykhis to, let's say in the days, 10 years ago, you had no shaykhis to Shainbik Zechran Levracha, but you know he wasn't Makar Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, you can ask him this shaykh because you want the shidduch. I don't know if you're Makayim, the Bnei Sasra, maybe yeah, maybe somebody will disagree with me and say, look, once Rabbi Shainbik said the words, that Munis Chachamim and that, maybe, I don't know, Yishladin. Okay? But the Hatayrim that they have, that is Makubal, Rabbi Yashiv, who was the biggest Machmer, and he was Makal on this, was Grada Shver, same name as you, is less problematic, a little bit less problematic than, it's a little bit less in the levels. Okay, so the Yashiv was a little bit more Makal, not straight up, but it was a little bit more of a Cheshbin than Shviger having the same name as the girl. The Maisa of Yashiv was Makal if she has two names, Rachaleya, and the girl's name is Leah, it was Makal. If her name was, Sarah Sarai, right? Which in our English is like, you know, they call her Sarah, they call her Sarala, and they call her Sari, you know. So that might be if it's by everybody, Rav Yashiv, if by everybody they call her this name and they call her that name, right? So Rav Yashiv is Makal. If they call her by her Goyish name, even though they have the exact same Jewish name, Rav Yashiv is Makal. Right? It was actually once at a chuppah, and it came out, they didn't realize until the chuppah that they had the same name. Right? And it was unbelievable. Mamish, like, it became a whole thing, right? And there was somebody there who did the Masada Kedushin Grada, and he said that Rabbi Yankiv had the same Isa, right? And Rabbi Yankiv was Makel. Why was Rabbi Yankiv Makel? Not just because he did the Rabbi Yudachas. He said, how did this happen? It must be that they called the mother, and that was the case of that. It must be they called the mother by her Gaisha name. Right? So Mela, nobody realized it until they actually came to writing a ksuva. How did such a story happen? It must be because they call her a different name than they call the girl. So Pasha, nobody realized it. The girl called a different name. The mother was called a different name. So Mela, they held that's okay. So those are the terim. If there's a variation in the name, if there's a variation in how you call them, even if they have the same name, if they have two names but you call them only by one, Maisa, both names, Avram and Avram, so then you get involved in changing names, which Rav Yashiv was Makel on. You can change your name, etc. So therefore, if a person has a shayla, then that's somewhat of the Eitzah, or unless he has the Das Tayyar that says it's not a problem, which there are definitely many people out there that hold it's not a problem. That's the second thing I want to talk about. The Machatonim and the Machatenistas, that's already a bit more cooler dick. Even though Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was Makel, but if the Machtanim and the Machtanistas have the same name, it's definitely a bit more cool dick. But again, you know, all these inyanim, you're going to talk after Kashayla. I wish to Olam, so talk, we should all be Zaycha, that we should find the Shidduch, it should go leicht, it should go easy, we should be Zaycha to make Batei Neman in Israel. Next might say Shabbos, unfortunately there won't be a Shir, unless you want to come up north somewhere where I'm going to be. Next might say Shabbos, there won't be a Shir. I guess in two might say Shabbos, we'll have it on Chanukah. Mistama, two might say Shabbos is already Erev Chanukah probably, right? When's Chanukah? Erev. It's Erev Mamish? No, I'm saying, but it's close. It's like chafal. So then next week, unfortunately, is no Shir. Okay, I'll get the call for myself.